Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Thursdays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
Yep, like that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm the guest, Mary Urena.
And this is Back Talk.
We've been on, at least this Movie Time has been on for almost 25 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And they never booted us off.
Are you anticipating a change in fortune?
Well, you know, we've been very careful with our selections to make sure that they're sophisticated enough. But yes, more acceptable for a general audience. And we have one that's probably not as acceptable as most that we've ever had.
It's certainly on the edge.
Yeah, it's called Enora. Titular character calls herself Ani. Mary, there are hundreds, well, at least more than 100 films about prostitutes.
But she's not a prostitute.
Oh, boy, you know, that's something we could argue. At worst, is an escort. Otherwise, yeah, she's a sex worker, right?
Her job is to work in a gentleman's club and perform lap dances and pole dances and other erotic acts, but technically she's not a prostitute.
And I'm aware when I said that, but yet when I see what she does in the evenings, I think she's a prostitute in the evenings as an escort. It's probably just as controversial as the very movie itself. You know, our arguing about that is because this is so unnerving. At least in half of the movie.
Yeah, the film opens where we meet Ani working at a gentleman's club called HQ, which is an actual club, and this was shot on site in the Brighton Beach area of New York. We see her just moving through this gentleman's club, approaching gentlemen when she gets interest, hustling them into a private room for a lap dance. At one point, a gentleman's interested in her and he doesn't have any cash. And so she's like, well, let's go to the ATM, which apparently there is one on site.
Yes.
So we are following her for a good, I don't know, first 5 minutes that open the film so that we get an understanding that she is a professional sex worker, how she treats her job, but we're not told how she ended up there. We're not given any of her background. We just are given the context of this is who this young 23-year-old woman is now.
Yeah. And parents, when they find out, I mean, eventually you have to know that the nub of this is that they impulsively get married in Las Vegas. You know?
Well, so in part of her role, she actually speaks Russian. Yeah. And so the club owner or manager approaches her about a Russian client who's now in the club. And because she's the only one who speaks Russian due to her grandmother never learning to speak English, she is asked to approach Ivan or Vanya, as he likes to be called. Yep. And he's a young Russian ne'er-do-well, son of oligarchs, and supposedly in the United States to study, but he's really just continuing to party and play video games and spend his parents' money. They end up together.
You know, dad and mom find out.
They do.
They call her a hooker.
They do call her a hooker.
So back to our discussion, and I find it so interesting. But how is it that dad and a mom, who is so controlling, lets him? Do they pay the bills? Do they have any idea for what it costs to rent this mansion that this kid has?
Well, it is their mansion. I don't know if they own it or are renting it, but it is their mansion.
Anyway, it's just so hard for me. Then all of a sudden, they come all the way across to annul the marriage. And what you suddenly realize what this kid is doing? Anyway.
Well, they don't, because I think we spend the first part of the film watching her in her profession, watching her connect with Vanya in a scene very reminiscent of Pretty Woman, which many have made comparisons, although Pretty Woman is a Disney film compared to this.
It is.
But they negotiate her spending a week with him and what that would cost.
Yeah.
And she agrees to do it. They live this lavish, wild, go to Las Vegas, party with friends lifestyle. And while they're in Vegas, he asks her on a whim to marry him. And they do get married, come back to New York. And I don't know how long they're back in New York, but that leads to Vanya's godfather, an Armenian hired by the family to kind of keep
priest,
tabs
actually.
On him.
Yeah.
And he...
A great role, I have to say.
And that's where the film really changes its tone. This is billed as a romantic comedy. I personally didn't find it that romantic. But the comedy that starts with the role of Toros, the godfather,
yes.
and his brother, Garnik, and Igor, who they also hire to babysit Vanya, it really gets funny. And they invade the home to put a stop to the marriage.
They're like the Three Stooges.
They are.
And they're fixers for the dead. And it'll give you an idea how distant the parents are really from the daily activity of their son. That is where it really takes off for me. I'll tell you, I find the first part of it boring. I find I get it after a while that he's a kid like a Jesse Eisenberg type, but he's actually dangerous. He's so out of it, Vanya.
He's somebody who's been raised in a wealthy family without any sense of duty or accountability or moral compass. And so he, like after they have sex, he's playing video games and he has sex like it's a video game.
Yeah.
And she actually has to coach him on how to actually have better sex.
Right, yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic as they're developing their relationship, and you see the lavish party, over-the-top party that he throws at the mansion. The parents clearly know and understand because they've hired babysitters to watch over him. And at the New Year's Eve party, you see them off in a side room just quietly observing what's going on and making sure it doesn't get out of hand, because you can tell that they've been through this numerous times before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So the parents clearly know and are allowing him just to go.
Who runs that family, do you think?
Oh, the mother. Completely the mother. She's the one who's on the phone with the godfather, asking what happened, telling them to get the marriage annulled. And when they get off the plane, their private jet that brings them to New York, she's the first one off the plane, and she is the one controlling everything. So his father, Nikolai, may be the oligarch, but the mother, Galina, is running things.
I love that moment when dad just cracks up at the stupidity. And Mikey Madsen's interpretation of Ani is just terrific.
It's a terrific performance. When she talks back to Galina.
The old man is just, he just loves it.
Because she's the only one who's had the temerity to do that, apparently.
Yeah. There are some things like her relationship with with Igor, the third fixer, which is really a very subtle part of this film.
Very subtle. And the final scene, which I don't want to spoil, is between those two characters.
Yes, yeah.
And it's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Again, that controversial first part. For me, what it achieves, it way, way too long, is really the stupidity of young people sometimes, or when I was young, and what we thought might be love, or when we were so privileged that it didn't make any difference whether we made a smart decision. We just have, now she is certainly an attractive young woman. If you can put aside the fact that she's a sex worker, she is certainly someone whom you would pay attention to if you were a young man such as Vanya.
I think the first part, which I agree with you, I thought went too long.
Yeah.
This is a 2-hour and 19-minute film, and it didn't need to be that long to provide what that first part provides in terms of the context of Ani's present life.
Yes.
And I think the thing that was interesting about going through that with her and seeing how she works and how she is out on the floor versus how she is with management in the dressing room when they're off the floor. I mean, she's talking about, you know, I'll work more hours when you provide health care and a 401k. And so she's very much like in control, and she's in control of the hustles. And I think what ends up happening with this young Russian oiled brat is that she has hopes that he really loves her and is going to stand by her. And he completely crumbles when the home invasion happens.
Oh, yeah. He's weak.
He runs out of the house and leaves her there to deal with the three gentlemen. And there's a really no holds bar. She shows what a fighter and scrappy person she is and how strong she is. But in the end, she gets hustled by him. And that's the poignant part at the end, where that realization of her hopes and dreams, and she was hustled yes. by him, even though she's a hustler herself.
Mary, at the end of our discussion on this movie time of Enora, about the titular character, Annie, played, I thought, magnificently by Kee Madsen, and I hope to see more of her, not only...
In the acting sense.
In the acting sense.
There's not much left of the imagination in the physical sense.
It's actually not full nudity.
It is not full nudity.
But whatever it is, it's plenty. You know,
actually, other than breasts and buttocks,
yeah,
there's no genitalia shown film.
And
which gives it an R rating, not an X rating.
Sure, and there's a lot of simulated sex activity, which doesn't take much for your imagination. I see that as more of a kind of an athletic contest or something between the two of them. It's like combat.
Yes, to a certain extent.
Yeah, in the end, I find it not sexy at all. I find it just as awkward as I must have when I was a teenager. Mm. I mean, it's all so mysterious to me.
But we digress.
I'm interested in Sean Baker. Now, let me preface this, and I know that you in your usual research way have it all taken care of.
I don't know about all, but thank you.
But this sex workers is a topic that he
does. He's a 53-year-old director. He's been making films for a couple decades. He traditionally makes independent films. He's also done some documentary and commercial work. But his 8 feature films, of which Enora is the 8th, focuses on a sex worker, which marginalized individuals and sex workers are a common theme in his filmmaking. He just finds depth of story with people in those environments and in those communities. And to his credit, I think he treats them with respect.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you and I struggled with the first 30 minutes or so of the film, because he's really showing her, Annie, and her profession in a very respectful way. It is a profession. We don't know these women's backstories. We don't even know Ani's backstory. Annie in particular is very professional about, this is my job, this is what I do. He tries to bring that element forward. His most recent film before this was Red Rocket. He did a story about transgender
porn star
yeah. in Tangerine.
The one that I really like, though, that I think is more accessible, is Florida Project.
Yeah.
It's humorous. And, yeah.
When I was researching
and it was
this,
a while ago.
It was a while ago.
One of them is, but it's more about this kind of out of control family
yeah.
in Florida, and Willem Dafoe, you know, doing his usual
Willem Dafoe stuff.
Right, whatever it is. Anyway, that's a much more accessible Annie that we're talking about here.
But it's still about an out of control family.
Yes.
I mean, when you see the dynamic between
yes.
Vanya
yes.
and yeah. his parents, they're very dysfunctional, and he's the representation of how out of control they are.
And I think that you were hinting to something that I found very interesting. It's just at the moment when she discusses what it's like to be a gig worker, and she has no benefits. That's when Baker takes it out of anything sexual into a business.
It's a business.
And she's a smart young woman at 23, clearly making a buck out of something that she's very, very good at. All you can do is sit there and say, my gosh, what a great woman. She could be in a different profession. But Baker does that. I just like how much he does it. It's almost as if it were, he tries to decriminalize something. You know,
well, and he personally believes that sex workers should be decriminalized.
Yeah.
In this case, she's working in a gentleman's club, an actual gentleman's club in the Brighton Beach area called HQ. And that's where she works. And he adds legitimacy to it, that it is a business, it's a profession, and the women who are in it are professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. We may not agree with what they do. It's ironic that we're reviewing this after a couple weeks ago, we reviewed Woman of the Hour, where we talked about the objectification of women.
Oh, yes.
Because you can't get more objectified than probably working at a gentleman's club, but he's showing it from the perspective of, this is what they are choosing to do as a profession. So therefore, as I was watching it, I was like going, but are they really being objectified? They certainly are by the clients, mm-hmm. but the women are not victims of objectification.
No, they're...
As he portrays them.
Oh, no, and when they're back in their makeup and so on, there's some that are friends, mm-hmm. there's some that are not. I mean, there's a real relationships, and separate from, I mean, you know, she has a maybe friend, but a colleague who jumps on Vanya the minute he finds out that the two of them have separated. I mean, this is very dangerous stuff. They're going.
Yes.
Mary, do you see anything worthwhile here in a meta way, looking at the relationship between Russia and the U.S.?
Wow, that goes to a direction that I wasn't thinking about as I watched the film.
And there may not be.
One thing that Sean Baker did is he cast actual Russian actors and Armenian actors in their ethnically appropriate roles, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
And really adds the appropriate texture to the film, because this is all shot on location. It was done in 37 days in the Brighton Beach area. In fact, the mansion in the film at one point did belong to a Russian oligarch. And so we're in the right environment, and we have ethnically the appropriate actors playing these roles. They're not Americans playing these roles. There's a great authenticity, and I think what it shows is what a melting pot we are as a world now, because not only from a film production standpoint, but from just accurately reflecting the Brighton Beach area, it's where a lot of Russian immigrants and Armenian immigrants have settled.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're in the right context there. And the more technology brings us closer together, or some may argue divides us, we're still becoming more of a global community as opposed to a very separate community.
And I think that Baker does a great job in keeping it from being too political, because what you have are parents like any other parents who are worried about their children.
And you have a child who's been raised with no guardrails because of the wealth. Yeah. I mean, it's very stereotypical in that regard, but it's also, the reason it's stereotypical, it's universal. Those dynamics can happen anywhere in any culture.
And the relationship between our two major characters, the young people, is not unlike anything, even if they're not sex workers. The willingness of a young woman to find someone to love, actually to love, stumbling upon someone who might be lovable, brings all and then going against all norms, is something that everyone can at least identify with.
Absolutely.
And there's I find it, and I just find I always roll my eyes at these young people when I say, you know, it's not. I think it's still happening all the time. They really still are silly. But I do have to love their energy.
So you must have loved the character of Tortos, who's the godfather and overseer of Vanya.
I love that role.
There's a scene. He has been in every Sean Baker film. They are very close friends. Tortos. His name's Karin.
Right.
But there's a scene where, and it's very subtle in the New Year's Eve party scene, where he's telling the party guests that's not a trapeze and trying to, like, you should be respecting this property and not partying like animals.
Oh, I know.
And then there's actually a scene where, so most of the movie, 2/3 of the movie is about tracking down Vanya and finding Vanya, who has run off after the home invasion. And they're in a diner, and he's got a picture of Vanya on his iPhone, and he's showing it to this young group of Russians or Armenians in this diner. And they're like telling the old man to go away. And he's like, you young people have no respect.
He's like a Dutch uncle there. He's just really.
So you must have really identified with Torres.
As an actor, he was excellent.
He's excellent. He's an excellent actor. And where we meet him is when he gets the call that, because social media has picked up on his marrying a prostitute, quote unquote. His mother has been on the phone with Tortos, and Tortos is actually in the middle of a baptism at an Orthodox church.
He is a priest.
When he takes the call of Vanya's misadventures in marriage. And so that's when we're introduced to him. His comic timing is very funny.
Yeah.
And the comedy aspect of the film really kicks in.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Pretty Woman as a, another sex worker movie. What do you see as the significant difference between these two?
Well, I think this film, one, it's not about prostitution on the streets. And in the Pretty Woman version, the prostitution on the streets it's pretty sanitized, let's be honest.
Yes.
This, I thought, it's about sex workers in a gentleman's club. They're not walking the streets. Mm-hmm. So it's a profession. It's a business. Sure. Because he took that time at the beginning to really just follow her around the club and introduce us to what, I mean, because I've never been in a gentleman's club. I'm not asking you for any true confessions.
No, I don't think I really have.
I've never been in one, and yeah. I probably never will be in one. No. I can imagine what it's like, but that was a no-holds bar. This is what it's like. And they actually screened this film for sex workers in L.A. Uh-huh. And apparently the audience felt it was very true and that they had done a great job handling that aspect of the film.
But I'm also interested in the relationship between Richard Gere, so
I think it's more realistic. It does mirror the they've met at first. It's a professional relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
Then it morphs into what she thinks is more than that. But certainly the dynamic of the spoiled Russian child, that did not exist in Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman Cinderella ending is not as realistic as the ending in Anora.
Yeah, and that's a good difference. On the way other side of the sex worker stuff, Midnight Cowboy.
Oh, gosh. That's even different sex.
Yeah.
Gender, I mean.
Yeah. But it's still the same kind of complications that come from something like that.
And that's very gritty.
And that is, yeah.
And it was rated X, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there was. It was a big to-do about it. They changed it. And Anora standards, it should be R. Yeah, but still the same idea of this as somebody moving into this as a profession. And we even have it in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes.
In a sense.
Pay desk.
Yeah, so it takes such a varied form. There are others, too.
Well, how ironic that we're talking about paid escorts, because American Gigolo...
And I was going to
with
say,
Richard Gere.
With Richard Gere, what do you think about that?
That was a pretty harsh, violent film, I thought. He ultimately has a relationship with one of the women he's paid to escort, played by Lauren Hutton. He's framed for a murder, you know, is likely to be convicted because the powerful, rich people around him start to abandon him. And some start to frame him. Trusted people, that is the reason why he got in the situation he did. So that's more of a thriller thing, but still has those dynamics of how vulnerable sex workers can be in terms of trusting people.
And now on the completely comedic side, what about Risky Business? Do you remember?
That is a completely comedic side, but it also has, you know, those dark undertones of betrayal and the fluidity of who you trust and who you don't. And he's referred to hiring, nudged by his friends to call a hooker to come out to the house and provide his, satisfy his teenage urges. Okay. And his one friend ends up picking one of the ads and calling, and it turns out to be transgender prostitute. And so he gives him the number of Lana, I think was her name, who's played by Rebecca De Mornay, to come out. And so she comes out to the house and all sorts of things ensue. But even then you have the fluidity of she helps him have like one night with her client friends and his teenage friend clients. They make a ton of money in one night. And then unfortunately her former pimp finds out about it. And
all right, Mary Arena. I can't believe we've taken.
We just went off the total rails.
You and I don't usually particularly care about in movies.
No,
and I certainly don't. This is like this, and violence, sexuality, and violence are a matter of almost indifference to me, unless you have something dramatic that they help to forward. But in this case, it does require us to come to terms with it, because you know, we have to advise our audience.
I think that's fair.
And Anora, I think, is a very fine film by Sean Baker. And he has developed a certain number of them about sex workers that are worth looking at. Some graduate student 100 years from now will pick up on his, how many films, 10, 15, and see that theme running through. And then,
He's only made 8 to date.
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll make more.
Time, exactly. And so by that time they'll be able to look at it and they'll find that strain in his work, whereas we have to deal with it immediately. So
Mary, it's called Enora. Well, I want to thank you for doing this film and for you and Beth not leaving immediately.
Beth thought about it.
I know. Oh, I bet. Now, Mary, what do you suggest about this film?
Well, this film did win the Palme d'Or at this year's Cannes Film Festival.
And it's the favorite at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yes. So it certainly has its fans, and with good reason. And I think if you go in forewarned about the opening third of the film, I think you'll be rewarded, because it is truly a finely crafted, acted film, and Mikey Madison delivers an amazing performance as Ani.